The text for our consideration this morning comes from John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." The nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Your son lives." Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better, and they said to him, "Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed in his whole household. This again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. When you are traveling down the road, what is one of the most important tools to help you know where you're going? GPS, paper map, maybe both. Whether we utilize technology or more conventional methods like a map, typically we need something to tell us where to go. Well, how does that work in life? Do you have a GPS telling you exactly what to do or where to go? You probably have or will make a plan on what you want to do in life and how to get there. And that is great, and we should all strive to construct a roadmap that we can follow. Yet what happens when the unknown comes? What happens when sickness strikes, plans fail, or a pandemic ruins your perfect plans? What do you do when you're faced with a difficult decision that can completely throw off your path in life? The answer might be a bit unexpected. By nature, we want to follow what we can see. We want to have control over. But God reminds us that He is in control, and we should follow His word and His promises. If there is anyone who should know what it's like to abruptly face life's unknown, it would have been the nobleman from our text. Verse 46 and 47, "So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he is at the point of death." We are not told every detail about what the nobleman did in reaction to his son coming down with the sickness. What we are told is that word came to him that Jesus was back in Galilee, and in fact, he is about 16 miles away in Cana. Now, I don't know about you, but traveling 16 miles from Capernaum to Cana would not be the first thought that comes to my mind if my son was near death. He was a nobleman. He could have just sent his servant to go down and get Jesus and have him come back and heal him, his son, but he didn't. And he displayed great trust and faith in the Lord by leaving his son and going himself to implore Jesus to come and heal his son. What was Jesus' response to the man? Verse 48, "Then Jesus said to him, 'Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe.'" This response appears to be quite random and almost as if he is dismissing the nobleman. But Jesus wasn't only talking to the nobleman. He was also calling out the Jews who were around that time after time were asking Jesus to perform miracles and signs. And Jesus did perform many miracles and signs as a way to show people that he was the promised Messiah from the Old Testament. However, this simple act of miracles was not enough to convert people from their sin to faith in Christ. How often do we get caught up thinking like the Jews? Wouldn't it be nice if we could get a sign from God telling us exactly what we should do exactly where we should go? Yes, it would. And it is very easy to get caught up in that thinking. However, God does not promise us miraculous signs in our everyday lives. The reason? We have God's Word written down in the Bible as our guide. The constant yearning for a sign from heaven, like the Jews, is a failure to take God at His Word and put our trust in Him. God has given us the greatest sign we could ever ask for in His Son at Calvary. It is there where our Savior laid up His perfect life for the sins of you, me, and the entire world. When we look for something else, when we look for some other sign or testimony, we are saying, what God has given me is not good enough. I need more. That is a dangerous attitude for a Christian to take. If we are looking for a sign each time an unknown comes into our life, how will we ever make a decision? We couldn't, because we do not have a new sign to put our trust in, and that can lead us into a pit of despair. Contrast this with the attitude that the old nobleman had. The nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." He could have found the best physicians in the land through his official office, but he didn't. He went straight to Jesus and would not leave without an answer. And Jesus gave him the words he was longing to hear. Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. That was all it took for the nobleman to return home. He didn't ask for proof that what Jesus said would be true. He took Jesus at his word and returned home. And as he is now going down, his servants met him, told him, saying, "Your son lives." Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed in his whole household. It took no time at all for Jesus' words to take effect. We learn from the nobleman's servants that it is at the same time Jesus promised him, "Your son lives." Even though he didn't ask for proof that what Jesus said would be true, Jesus gave him proof anyway. That proof that yes, Jesus was God, He is the promised Messiah, and that you could place your trust in His Word. It was this faith and trust in Jesus that effected the faith and conversion of the nobleman and his family. Sure, the miracle of his son being healed was a great testimony to who Jesus was, but that was not what converted them. It was his faith in Christ's assuring word, "Your son lives." It is inevitable that unforeseen and sometimes tragic events will enter our lives at various points. We do live in a sinful world, after all. We may not always make the right decision when we are faced with these challenges, and we may want to cry out in frustration to God. Well, there is good news for you and me when we are facing these situations. God has given us an answer on what to do. He points us to His Son, Jesus, on the cross. Christ's redemptive work for you and me, taking and washing away our sins, provide us with the answer to any mystery that comes our way. Jesus fulfilled the promise of our salvation, and He promises now to be with you always, even to the end of the age. You and I have a lifeline to God through His Word and through prayer, and this lifeline is always open. And even when life seems to be in its darkest moments, we can be sure and trust in His Word, that He will not forsake us until He comes to bring us home to heaven. Amen. We'll close this morning with hymn 552, verses 1 and 8.